Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
That's your name, Ethan.
That is my name. For Ethan's sake.
Lore boys here, from one gym to another. My name is James Miller, and I am joined with...
Ethan Palmer. You can call me Earth. I got dibs on Earth because Jamie already had Jim, so I figure Peter's going to get stuck with Worm now.
Yeah, as far as I know, there's a character named Pete in the cartoon. It's Peter O'Donohue, digging through my beard and finding gray hairs. Time to die.
There is a character named Pete, and it's a cute pink puppy.
That's it. Yeah,
not a worm, a pink puppy.
Petey pink puppy Poe Ponapoo.
Okay, what kind of cute animal is the Ethan character in this series?
I saw Pete, and I was hoping we'd find an Ethan.
Yeah, good enough. Let's do it. Let's make the episode. I'm not forgetting anybody.
you can be the final boss of the first game, Queen Slug for a Butt.
Okay, well, I am known by that in some circles, so that's
cool.
Fine by me.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's dive right in, guys. We're going to talk about Earthworm Jim. This is a game that I played 1 and 2. I used to rent it from Blockbuster and played it on the Genesis.
Okay, and, Phil Collins, I'm following you.
Yeah, I'd sit cross-legged on my mom's bed and play on the little TV in her room until it was bedtime at 8 p.m. or whatever it was. I played this quite young, but I really, really love this series.
I played it on Genesis as well at my buddy Adrian's place across the street, who I have definitely mentioned on this show before because he's the guy who introduced me to video games.
Okay, very cool.
Did you play it all, Ethan?
No, I've played the first level. I've not beaten the first level. I actually have it on my Raspberry Pi, which I have out right beside me on my desk. I had set up to play games, and I played half of the first level maybe, and I was like, I'm going to do something else.
And it only gets much harder. Yeah. I never beat the submarine level in the first game.
No, yeah. So the way that we're going to do this is we're going to talk a little bit about how Earthworm Jim came to be created. Then we're going to do a run through of the whole first game, the whole second game. And then we'll completely forget about the third game because it never happened.
Okay. Well, that's easy enough.
Like, canonically, yeah. It never happened, or it was just bad?
It changed studio's hands. They got bought out, and then they reassigned it to a different studio and had the original studio work on a different series of games. And that was whenever all the games were switching from 2D to 3D, and it was just executed very poorly.
Right.
Oh, do they have, like, one of those, like, stillborn... like 3D games for the N64?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like 15 levels, but it really doesn't hold up. And then it came out at the same time as Super Mario 64, and then it's just so much worse, so it just couldn't compete on many levels.
They got EA'd.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
In a video I was watching, they're saying like the rights are still up for grabs, and maybe EA will buy it for like pennies on the dollar and just puke out another version of the game one of these days.
Why don't we buy it? Why don't we buy the canon for Earthworm Jim?
Dude, yeah. I'd love that.
Reality.
How much money we got?
Well, that depends on our listeners at home. This is not actually an episode. This is a pledge drive. So pick up those phones and dial in.
All right. So before the games, we're going to start with Playmates Toys. They actually found success with the license for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So they had the license for those toys.
Wow. Lucrative toys.
Yeah. So they had some pocket change and they're like, let's start our own franchise.
Okay.
So inspired by Sonic and Sonic the Hedgehog 2, they decided that they wanted to start the franchise video game first and then go to toys as a really rare approach at the time.
Oh,
was it?
Really?
How many Sonic toys came out before the Genesis game?
No, they said they wanted to do it like Sonic, so Sonic would have been the same formula, right?
Yeah, I guess Sonic, like, yeah, they released the game. It was a really popular game. Then they could franchise off that. Yeah. But rather than, yeah, I guess they're counting on the toys coming out of this game. So they're designing the game to create the toys.
It would have been not like, like the G.I. Joe game or the Barbie game, I guess.
Right. Or Transformers.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly. Or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, supposedly.
Yeah. That was a comic, though, wasn't it?
It was probably a lot of stuff, but it was definitely a toy before it was a video game.
Okay, yeah.
The more popular approach was probably make a Saturday morning cartoon like Transformers or something so you could create toys after it. And instead of doing a cartoon, they just did a video game first.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So from there, the game's design actually started with the creator, Doug Tenapple.
Okay.
Great name.
Yep.
He had to kill Doug Nineapple to get that name.
Yeah. So Doug Tenapple, he's like the heart and soul of Earthworm Jim. Anytime he's been connected to a project, like the first game, the second game, and the TV show, it's been like really true to its spirit, like this wacky acid trip, kind of crazy early 90s feel. Anytime they take him off, it kind of sucks. Okay. Yeah. So he presented it to a company called Shiny Entertainment.
Okay.
And a guy named David Perry, who is the second guy that really makes the heart and soul of Earthworm Jim, took it on. And just based on a drawing of a worm in a spacesuit, basically.
Now, earthworms, to my knowledge, have 5 hearts. So who are the other 3 guys we're going to be covering?
They have 4 hearts, according to the cartoon when I watched today.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Or no, 4 brains, actually. He's like, what do I want to do? One's like, I'm hungry. And the other one's like, there's a girl there. The other one, like, they all just had useless things to say.
They all had very, like, animal ideas. Yeah. Thirsty, horny, scared, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
4 brains, good. Not a thought to rub between them, huh?
Just looking for thoughts, not having them. Yeah, so David and Perry, he's super impressed with this. He takes it on, and they start to build the game. And Doug Tenapple, back in the early 90s, like you weren't just like, I'm in charge of production, I'm in charge of testing. You did like everything.
Yeah.
He did the game design, the level ideas. He even voiced Jim's character.
Nice.
Oh, and he's the guy who says groovy?
Yep.
I will say a modern equivalent to this, because I've been playing a lot of Hades recently. Like, the CEO of Supergiant voices Zagreus and like 12 other characters.
No way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's And like you if you watch the credits, it's just like one guy has like 12 characters, then like a couple people have 2 characters, then there's like 4 people with 1 character. He just voices most of the people in that game.
That's really cool.
He voices Skelly.
It's him. Oh, he voices Zagreus. He voices Hades. He voices Skelly. He voices Thanatos, I think. He voices... Oh, no, not Thanatos, but he voices a couple people.
I love Skelly, dude. Hey there, kiddo.
Boy,
got a new weapon up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so Tenapple, he works with the game design, level ideas, Jim's character, and Perry and the other programmers create the other characters and game mechanics.
Okay.
The resulting game would be the original Earthworm Jim. For those who haven't played it, it's a 2D side-scrolling platformer with elements of a running gun. You have a little blaster.
Yeah.
You control Jim and maneuver him through the level while avoiding stuff. It's like a platformer. Don't get hit by the enemies.
Now, do you control Jim or do you control his suit?
You control Jim because you are separated from the suit more than once throughout the 2 games.
I see. Okay.
And you have to get back to your suit.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can also whip enemies with your own head. Like, you pull it out of the suit, like...
Yeah, it's familiar. It's great.
Yeah. For anyone who hasn't seen it, this Earthworm Jim is an earthworm in a power suit, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorite little details in rewatching the gameplay is when he, like, does monkey bars or, like, shimmies along a chain. Because he has a gun in one hand, he uses the top of his head as a knot and his other arm.
Yeah, yeah.
So he doesn't actually put his gun away. He has, like, his 2 limbs or his... Basically, his forehead and his free hand.
That's imagine a VR version of that. That would be dizzying.
Oh, Lord. Your 2 eyes pointing in different directions because your head is tied in a knot. Like,
I have enough trouble with like flowing water in a third-person game. I don't want to imagine how fucking dizzy I'd get.
You can also use the whip, which is your head, to grab hold of and swing from certain hooks in the game. So kind of like Pete mentioned, you can grab onto ladders, you can like grab onto a hook and like fling yourself over. Yeah, and then there's other mechanics depending on the level, which we'll get into, as I plan on talking about every single level at least a little bit in Earthworm Jim 1 and 2.
Cool. It's an audio playthrough, basically. It's an audio let's play is what we're doing today.
All right, cool.
Exactly.
I shoot.
Yeah.
I shoot. I press the shoot button. Shoot button, okay. Please. Shoot button.
All right. Okay, roll the dice.
I don't have my dice on me.
Okay.
On where's Orson Welles? I want him to make people in the United States think that earthworms and spacesuits are attacking.
So originally it was released on the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis, although there's a bunch of re-releases, special versions. I think there's a PS3 remake even with a four-player co-op.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. But mostly we're just going to focus on the SNES and Sega Genesis. If you just go into YouTube and you type in Earthworm Jim lore, there's a guy who goes through every single level and also talks about every single version of the game. So if you're looking to buy it, he has the best ways to get it and all this type of stuff.
This is Dave 11 Apple. He's the next successor to the Jim throne.
When you get past 10, you change your name from Doug to Dave too. It's pretty cool.
Sorry, I was first there.
So Earthworm Jim, it really looks a lot like a playable Saturday morning cartoon. It's animated. There's funny animations, like Peter mentioned. Doug Tenapple had already worked on the cartoon Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, if you've ever heard of that.
Yeah.
Heard of it in a very, very esoteric sense.
Yeah. He also worked on games like Jurassic Park, The Jungle Book, Ren and Stimpy, Stimpy's Invention. I played all three of those on the Sega Genesis.
That's like a Jurassic Park game. Fucking slaps.
I played it on SNES. I'm not sure if it was the same one, but I definitely played Jurassic Park on SNES. All I remember is as a child, it was too hard for me.
Yeah.
Yes. There was the Alan Grant levels and the Raptor levels, and I could never get past the T-Rex.
So I just played Donkey Kong instead.
The marketing campaigns were like just as wacky as the game. We haven't really got into how wacky it is, but you'll see it is. I keep using the word acid trip because it's the only thing I can think of that would combine all the things it does. But
one of the you're promising our listeners some whack though, right?
Two, one of the band commercials has a live action, like a real granny just sitting in front of the TV eating a bowl of worms, like real worms. And she's like watching Earthworm Jim, and like all the worms are like crawling and squirreling in her mouth. They really look like real worms. I'm not sure they had the CGI back in the day.
They wouldn't have.
Yeah. The game came out in 94, so it would be a background then.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park, on that note, came out in 1993, and that movie still looks fucking great. But a lot of the dinosaurs are robots.
Yeah, all of them. There was like very little CGI. Steven Spielberg was super against CGI for a long, long time, right?
Good.
But I mean, could they have been rubber worms?
They're like moving on their own accord, and like they keep showing close shots of the worms in the bowl, and then hanging from her mouth.
I'd assume the worms in the bowl were real worms. I would assume the worms in her mouth were fake, and then maybe they have like lever action. So if when she bites the rubber worm on one end, the other end kind of like wiggles.
Yeah, I didn't put a magnifying glass to it, but it looked realistic.
How many Jim Henson puppeteers were involved in making is basically
one puppeteer for every worm in her mouth.
Yeah,
yeah.
Doug one apple through nine apple were all little people inside of her mouth pulling the worm. So let's start the story off. Jim was not always Earthworm Jim. At one point, he was just an earthworm. Maybe his name was Jim. Who knows? But he was just a little old worm.
Okay.
And there was a spaceship flying through space, as they do. And a villain, the main villain of the whole series, is called Cycrow. And it's a crow in a yellow space suit with a beer belly and a gun with a hook on the end of it.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, so I recognize him. There's like bonus levels where you race him, right?
Yes, we're going to get into that. In between every level, you have to race Cycrow, and if you lose the race, you have to do a little fight scene with him, or if you win the race, you just get to go to the next level.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so Cycrow is making his way across space. I guess he's racing some other worm, and he has precious cargo, namely an advanced super space suit that falls out of his ship. And it hurtles towards, I guess, is Earth. It's not really specified, but...
Well, it's Earthworm Jim.
He's not Marsworm Jim, idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. They do mention in the, there's like a quiz later, and they ask, where's Jim from? And it, the three choices you have are all from places on Earth. Although that quiz is really nothing to count on, because there's a lot of weird things in there too that are definitely lies. So it's,
will this count as SAT prep for me? I'm doing some studying recently.
Yes, it will. Okay, it will. Good, yes. Good. Yeah. There is a metaphor, like a something is to this as a something is to this.
Yeah. And, Barney Gumble does that in the Simpsons. He's just like, effervescence is his answer.
Speaking of the Simpsons, in the show of Earthworm Jim, the same guy who voices Homer voices Earthworm Jim.
Dan Castellaneta.
Yeah, exactly. Very
cool. Yeah. He's also the genie in Aladdin 2 and in the animated series of Aladdin. Huh.
Back when he was affordable, I'm sure.
Yeah. So still now we have Psycho flying through the air. He lost his suit. It's hurtling towards Earth. And a little worm is poking his head out in the morning. I guess the early worm gets the suit or whatever.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Early worm gets the space suit, huh?
Yeah.
And a blaster to blast those damn birds.
So as soon as he starts poking out, the spacesuit lands neck down right on top of him.
A spurk?
And it becomes a part of this, or not becomes a part of the suit, but the suit gave him extraordinary strength. It helps him evolve. He didn't have eyes before, and then he has two misshaped human-like eyes afterwards. And it gives him the wits to control this new suit.
Nice.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you're going to get into this. Psycro, is he a regular Earth or perhaps Martian crow inside a super suit that makes him intelligent? Is it suits that do this to Earth animals, or?
Maybe it mentions it in the show, because I know a lot of the lore is introduced in the show. It doesn't mention it in the games.
Okay, well, lore boys canon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a race of super intelligent spacesuits that cannot pilot themselves for whatever reason.
Yeah, exactly. There was a turtle wearing a tuxedo who was flying by in his spaceship and dropped a spacesuit on a bird who then turned into Psycro.
Does it go with like the chain of like animals eating each other? Because a crow would eat a worm. What would eat a crow?
Well, a turtle. That's why I said turtle.
Yeah. Turtles eat crows?
Crow eating turtles do.
All the time.
Bird hunting turtles. You've never heard of them?
Well, wow.
Yeah, your little quiz is not the only thing teaching people today, Jamie.
You're going to sail through the fucking SATs after this episode, let me tell you.
Bird is to worm as crow eating turtle is to bird. There you go. So Jim needs a main mission now. This is a video game. So they introduce a character named Princess What's Her Face. Okay. And she's like a curvy Sega Genesis model that her name is a joke based on how the princesses in other games seem to have no real autonomy or like choices in the game, and they're just the goal for the male. So I mean, that's why
that's fair.
Yeah. She's Princess What's Her Face, because it doesn't really matter what her name is, because she's
Doug
just there
Pineapple.
For the male.
Yeah. Yeah,
the first video game feminist.
Yeah, it was a dig at Mario specifically.
That was the first one that came to mind too.
It's clearly. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Donkey Kong doesn't save a princess, he saves bananas.
Yeah.
True.
I mean,
Sonic is
Donkey Kong originally. Kidnapped the princess was the one kidnapping the princess.
Right.
Yeah. So he's got a restraining order. So that's why the game is about something else.
Yeah. Bananas.
Yeah. Sonic and Tails are clearly in a relationship already. So there's no princess there.
Yeah. No. They sometimes sometimes swing with Shadow. I'm pretty sure. But...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's fine. But Shadow's not royalty. He's one of multiple clones.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Knuckles.
No, you don't want to know what Knuckles does with those knuckles.
I was thinking it.
I'm always thinking it.
Yeah. I'm always just thinking of what Knuckles could or couldn't do to me.
those big mitts.
Yeah, yeah. Jim Henson me Knuckles. Christ.
All right, let's dive into some of the levels of the first game and their wacky style. So I know Peter watched the playthrough of the first level, New Junk City, today.
Yeah. Yeah. which I've personally played through dozens of times because I was terrible at that game and had to restart it constantly.
Yeah. Here you have to fight your way through a junkyard riddled with tires and other discarded trash. I think Ethan tried it too, right?
Yeah, this one's familiar to me. And like I said, I don't... Maybe I beat it once and I got to the second level on my Raspberry Pi, but I don't remember the second level at all. So I guess I never realized that this is like a true game over game, like games in the 90s used to be, because Peter was saying he had to play it a bunch of times. So I guess if you game over, you go back to start.
Yeah, in the PS3 version, the one with the four-player co-op, they added a password system like Mega Man X.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But that wasn't around for when we were playing it mostly.
Damn. Hardcore.
Yeah. So you start off, and one of the very first things you have to do is you have to whip this fridge that's hanging up, and it falls down onto a piece of wood, and it launches a cow straight into the air. And all caps, it says, cow launched on your screen. And remember that, because that's important. That'll come back
also
later.
The music in New Junk City, absolutely, it's a banger.
All the music is great. If you're going to listen to it, try and find the not the Super Nintendo version, but the Sega Genesis version, because it had a better sound card and it could play. There's like whole parts of the songs that are not included in NES, like the lead sounds and stuff. We launched the cow, remember that, comes back later. Then you have to fight a bunch of like an animated trash can, and then like this junkyard worker who vomits like full living fish out.
Yes.
He's just like, he's hooked up to like a crane thing and he's going back and forth on the top of the screen, and you have to dodge the fish while also shooting at him.
Okay. Fair, I guess.
I saw that boss fight today. You can also do damage to him by like hitting him in the ass with crates that you bounce off like a sproiling thing from like a spring platform.
Maybe that's actually how you kill him. I didn't actually look into it. I just saw the fish vomiting animation, and I assumed you had to shoot him. So once you beat this worker, and at the end of every level, like I said, Jim pulls out a spaceship. He keeps it in his pocket.
Okay,
it looks like just like a jet engine that he kind of throws himself on the top, and there's a couple handles.
Perfectly safe.
How I learned to stop worrying and love the bomb. Dr. Strangelove, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeehaw.
Except Slim Pickens did not have handles on that fucking thing.
So, like, at the end of every level, there's a race, and it looks kind of like a long wormhole type thing, and you're going down, and Psycro's there, and you can collect these collectibles to make you go faster or hit things that'll make you go slower, so get the good stuff, dodge the bad stuff.
Okay.
From what I saw, it looks like pretty, like, trash-level Mario Kart, though, so, like, you pick up all these little orbs, and then you hit, like, an atom, basically, and it, like, it's like a boost pad.
Yeah. Yeah, and apparently these are not too hard, according to the guy that I watched who did the playthrough, but he's played it a lot.
Yeah, so. That's it. Man who's played thousands of hours of Earthworm Jim says these racing levels are not jank and very easy.
Yeah. If you win the race, you go to the next level and you get to start it. But if you lose, you have to have a brief fight with Psycro. And the fight kind of sucks. So you do want to win because you don't want to lose those precious worm lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at the end of every level, it shows up on a white screen, and Earthworm Jim's there, and he says, Groovy! So, if you earn the Groovy, you're doing well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ash from Evil Dead as well approves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also saw that there's like a little Western tune where he like rodeos his jet engine and swings his head around like a lasso.
Yeah. There's a lot of cute little animations in the first one, and then even more in the second one. The next level is called What the Heck, and it's based on Hell.
Okay, well, it's probably based on Heck, right? This is the Earthworm situation all over again, where it's the word's right there, Jamie.
Well, you know how we know it's Hell? Because the enemies there are demons and lawyers.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, right. I'm having fucking flashbacks now. Don't they like throw briefcases at you or something? Yeah.
They're like chucked around in their suits with their briefcases.
Yes.
And it's like fiery abyss.
Okay, is there a through line here where you're in a junkyard, you launch a cow into low Earth orbit, and then you go to hell? Like, is there a story that connects those two levels, or?
We will be the greatest lore masters ever if we can make a through line for all of this.
Okay.
Okay.
Especially the second one, dude, it is off the fucking wall.
And it's just it's like maybe they had a nice like storyboard, and then they just like cut it up and like made a deck of cards and shuffled it, and we're like, there we go.
Yeah. There's like different levels depending on the version you get to. NES has an additional level that Sega doesn't. Sega has one that NES doesn't. Future versions of the game have other little like cutscenes and stuff that didn't exist in the other ones. So depending on what version of the game, I guess you'd have to draw a different through line.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll establish which versions are canon.
Right, yeah. Now. Yeah, the ones
and then
that...
buy the rights as well so that we could become the true arbiters of Earthworm Jim lore.
Yeah. I follow the Genesis track just because that's what I had experience with.
Sure. Good. Good. Okay.
Yeah. So what the heck, the soundtrack is muffled elevator music and screams.
Okay, because hell would be playing elevator music constantly.
Yeah.
That's a very nice old cliche as well.
Yeah.
Elevators don't have music anymore. Like, when was the last time you were in an elevator and had music playing?
Well, it's because like there was like those Christian lobbyists who wanted to get it removed because it was bothering them.
Because
it's in heck, dude.
Obviously, it's because it's in hell.
But it's in heck because it was bad. I mean, maybe we should like bring it back or start like live bands in elevators. What do you guys think about that? That'd be pretty cool, huh?
I got a trombone. I can just partake for my 30 seconds per day where I'm in the elevator.
I'll bring my full drum kit with, you know, I got 15 toms and 2 bass and 70 cymbals. I'll whip up that bad boy. We're gonna have to get bigger elevators, but
hey man, can you leave your header in the elevator? I didn't bring mine. My buddy's car was too small. Can I just bum that for the show?
Okay, so the first major fight in hell is against a snowman, of course.
Okay.
How wacky and ironic. Wow.
Yeah, that's all that's notable about that. And the final fight is against a cat named Evil. So it's Evil the cat. Okay. And you can see its silhouette in the background the whole time you're fighting through.
Oh, yeah, I do remember this.
Yeah. So like the way the art style is, like there's like a backdrop and then there's like the foreground where you have the stuff you can actually touch. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of those old games. So you can always see Evil the Cat's silhouette in the background, just like on a ledge around the fiery stuff, laughing away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
So at the beginning of this fight, you fall out of your suit for the first time in the game. And you have to be just your little wriggly worm self and dodge a bunch of fireballs until something happens and your suit falls back to reach again.
Nice.
So the suit gave him permanent power. It does not empower the worm while he's wearing it. It mutated him and he's still Jim.
Yeah, right? He seems to be like coherent enough whenever he's outside the suit.
He doesn't lose his eyeballs at the very least.
Yeah. Even in hell where they might boil over, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Although there's a snowman, so maybe it's not that hot.
True.
Yeah, it's all that like you know, like the fan with the streamers on it to make it look like fire when you're doing like a stage play.
Exactly.
it's all paper.
Yeah.
Hell is a low quality production stage play.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So after you get your suit back, it kind of goes to a different stage and it's all dark in the background. There's no more of the fire, and the cat will emerge out of the darkness, and you have to shoot the cat before it hits you. So you have to be ready to shoot from whichever direction it's going to pop out at.
Okay.
And every time you kill it, it has 9 lives. When you shoot it the first time, you see a little ghost with a 1 on its chest go up 2, 3, 4 until you kill it all the 9 times for its 9 lives.
Oh, I do remember this so much. Like, I didn't watch this far on YouTube today to like prep for the episode, but you are bringing back like, at this point, 20-year-old memories to a little Peter right now.
If you could spark my memory, because it's been a while since I've done this, if you kill something in hell, do you force it to go to heaven?
I think cats just go back to the neutral part, like go back to Earth.
Okay. You restore it to life. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I haven't killed a cat in hell before.
Yeah, no, that sounds familiar, though. That sounds right.
Yeah,
sounds right. If you listen to the Inferno episodes that we did, I'm pretty sure Dante explains how to get a cat out of hell.
Cat out of hell. Meatloaf's new album, 2020.
So I have a quick aside about Meatloaf, very quickly.
Okay.
My dad hates Meatloaf.
Like, we're talking about the singer, not the food, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And so he used to go on hunting trips with his buddies. I've gone on a couple with him as well, just like rabbit and partridge hunts. And at some point, this was before I started going with him, at some point, because they knew that he hated meatloaf, they like cranked up the radio in the cabin they had rented, him and his friends, and then started playing meatloaf on cassette. And obviously, after you go hunting, you get fucking drunk. And it's just a cabin full of men with guns, and they're all wasted. So my dad, when they were playing euchre, fucking stops, calmly walks over to the radio, pops out the cassette, throws it out the front door, and then shoots it with a shotgun.
I've heard that Meatloaf Bat Out of Hell is referenced to one, whenever you see someone with a record collection, maybe not today's record collection, but back in the day, someone always just had Meatloaf Bat Out of Hell somewhere in that collection.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you wanted it or not, it was just there. Yeah.
Does Earthworm Jim get the motorbike from that cover?
Maybe.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Whenever we make our game, he sure will.
Oh yeah.
So next up is Down the Tubes, and this is an underwater level, but you're not swimming. It's like you're in tubes, hence Down the Tubes. So you can see through these like glass tubes that you're walking through. There's these floating brain-like things all over, iterations of the boss for the level. So there's like a goldfish, which is the final boss, and he's held by a huge burly cat. Okay. Just because, I guess.
A lot of cats in this.
Yeah. Then you have to get past mines in the level, and at one point, like, you keep walking down the tube and you keep getting blown up by mines. Like, how do I do this? You have to go back, and then you have to get a hamster, and you have to ride a hamster, and the hamster eats all the mines in the path so you don't get blown up.
Well, duh. I mean, that seems very obvious to me.
Yeah. This is beyond my tiny child brain. I never got past this level. I have never seen the hamster.
Yeah, me neither, man. Then after that, you do have to go through this maze, basically, and it goes up and down, not only left and right, like most platformers kind of focus on, where you are in this circular bubble. I guess it's kind of like a hamster ball, but it has these little jets on the bottom, and you have to navigate your way through it on a Sega Genesis or NES controller without bumping into the walls.
I pray for you.
Yeah. It sucks. It's really, really hard to do. Even the guy who put thousands of hours into Earthworm Jim's like, I don't like this part.
Yeah. I don't like this. It's like, it's like watching Aladdin speedrunners when they get to the flying carpet thing in the when you're flying out of the cave after you grab the lamp. And all of them are just like, yeah, this is bullshit, and it's mostly just random luck on which direction you choose to go because nobody has the reaction time to react to it.
David Perry, so Doug Tenapel's partner, actually worked on that Aladdin game.
Oh, yeah? There you go.
Yeah.
We found the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, so once you finally get to the end of it, you do get to a final boss, which is the goldfish named Bob the Goldfish.
Okay,
good. But he doesn't have his burly cat carrying him around this time. He's, I guess, to reward you for going through that ridiculous maze, he's just on a table, and you just got to go up and whip him once, and then the goldfish falls over, and you beat the boss.
No, it is.
That's great.
Maybe this is symbolic, or maybe I'm reading too much into this, but it's like, so cats don't eat worms, right? And you've killed a cat. Men don't traditionally eat worms, even when suspended from cranes and vomiting fish. They traditionally don't eat worms, but fish do. You put a worm on your hook. So this is symbolic of how advanced Earthworm Jim is. The fact that the fish is the first enemy to not give him any problems, right?
And this has been my TED talk on Earthworm Jim.
this is
that's
the
why
proof
he's wearing jeans and a blazer.
This is the proof that he's higher evolved than a worm. It's not
very symbolic. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's the first one of his prey that he's defeated. And then we're getting like close to halfway through the game. And his last foe is going to be a crow, right? Which is another thing that eats worms. So
that is something that eats worms, but also something that eats fish. Crows.
Crows can use tools as well. Crows and they eat nuts.
Crows are very smart, and they're surprisingly big when you get see one up close.
Yes.
Yeah. So the next level is a really short one. It's called Snot a Problem.
Okay.
Very good. Very funny.
Yeah. You start at the top of a green pit that kind of has like jagged edges all the way down, and it probably has enough room for maybe 6 or 7 bodies across of it. And it's just this really, really deep pit, and you have a bungee. And you jump down, and you're bungeeing next to the boss of this level, Major Mucus.
I like your fucking like 19th century sailor form of measurement, like 6 or 7 bodies. Ah, yes, a whole six men abroad. Yeah, yeah. Oh,
yeah. scale is really weird because he's a worm, right? So he goes in intestines later because his soup must be small next to a person. So it's
oh, so you're saying this pit is huge because it's 6 people across and this guy can fit in an intestine.
Well, yeah, maybe that person wasn't the right word. I said bodies.
Yeah,
true.
Bodies of Earthworm Jim.
Earthworm Jim. Okay. Jimbodies.
Yeah. Anyways, measurement aside, you're trying to fight Major Mucus, who he's also bunging next to you on a giant snot strand. And at the bottom, there's like these teethy monsters. So you don't want to like land in the wrong spot at the bottom or else you get all toothed up. Right. But you're also trying to go up and down and bounce the boss, Major Mucus, into the side of the wall as he is trying to do to you.
Okay.
So, oh, okay. It's like the Battletoads thing, like swinging side to side, take damage on the wall.
Yeah, and it's honestly not that hard, and it's really short. Once you get the hang of it, this is probably the shortest level yet. You just got to knock him into the walls a couple times, you get the victory.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Level 5. This is probably the most normal platforming level up to this point. There's no real gimmicks. You just go through what it looks like a spaceship area, and you kill the enemies and do the platforms. But the final boss is Professor Monkey for a Head.
Yes.
Okay.
I posted in general. I don't know if you saw, Ethan, but it's like a professor up to about eye level, but then the eyes are shared with a monkey that is upside down on his head.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, the boss runs along the ceiling because the top of his head is a monkey, so he's able to, like, run along the ceiling.
I see. Okay. But
he's all
okay.
Dangly down there.
That is horrifying. How would you describe it?
It's hard to describe.
No, yeah. I mean, that's pretty good. The man's head is a monkey's whole body. And on that monkey has an upside down face on the top of its head, which is also the man's face.
Yeah. So the eyes are just like the shared part. If you were to like Photoshop line up a monkey and a human, but the monkey's upside down and you put their eyes together, it's kind of, I don't know.
There's like a guy with a chair face from Freakazoid. And I, for some reason, always kind of link these two guys together.
The Earthworm Jim show is compared to Freakazoid in a lot of people's minds, like the style of humor and stuff.
Yeah, I remember seeing them both infrequently because I didn't have cable.
Yeah.
I don't know what Freakazoid is, so.
I think they're both American shows. Like, in Canada, we only got them later. I never saw the Earthworm Jim one.
Anyway. Freakazoid is from the Animaniacs. He's like a superhero.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, Animaniacs, same comedy style as well, too, I've heard.
Yeah.
But
that one, so the professor,
yeah, Professor runs back and forth with his monkey head on the ceiling, and you're underneath trying to deal with the professor side of him. And once you beat him, you get to go to the next level for Pete's sake.
Oh, I think I'm going to be in this level.
That's your name, Ethan!
That is my name! For Ethan's sake.
Yeah, so this is an escort mission, and honestly for the time it's like a really cool mechanic and a really cool level.
I was gonna say a fucking Genesis escort mission sounds like cancer though. Yeah. like really bad.
They added in one of the versions of the game, they added like another escort mission where you have to get this blind like lizard monster to where it needs to go. So you have to get close enough that it smells you, then it like smells a couple times, then moves forward, and you have to get it to go through walls and stuff, and that one was really bad. But this one, as long as you're playing by the rules, it seems to go pretty well.
Okay.
Yeah. So you have to bring a puppy named Pete across the whole level. And there's a few mechanics. There's asteroids that are coming down, so you have to shoot the asteroids so they don't hit the puppy. You can shoot the puppy to make it duck, or you can whip the puppy to make it jump.
So
there's
confusing,
like a lot.
Man.
Yeah.
So many layers.
Yeah, there's seesaws all over too, so sometimes the seesaw will lead it right down into like a pit, so you have to get there first and hop on the level so it like changes the position of the seesaw so the puppy will walk up to the right level.
Okay.
Oh, this is classic Saturday morning cartoon, like baby crawling babysitter. This is like another Animaniacs bit where oh my god, no, you need to put like the board of wood in front of the baby so he doesn't fall off the cliff sort of thing.
Rather than grabbing the baby.
It struck me as very like Mr. Magoo-esque, where the puppy's just kind of going about its life, and it's walking at like a leisurely pace, and you're just running back and forth, like shooting things, like whipping it so it jumps, setting up the next part. So you're like frantically trying to get it there to the right place, but it's so innocently moving along.
This being Ethan the puppy, as we've established.
Yeah, exactly.
This level's really hard. Also, if Pete or Ethan the puppy get hurt, it turns into a monster and then like knocks you back a couple screens and takes some of your life. So not only do you lose your life total, you have to do this part again.
Damn.
Yeah, that's a risk of babysitting.
Yeah.
Sometimes the baby gets hurt, turns into a monster, and makes you relive the past 20 minutes of your life.
Yeah. Parents don't believe you, and you get your $20 and a popsicle at the end of the night no matter what. Doesn't matter.
Well, because you're getting paid hourly, and you're like, no, actually, I got hit back 3 times. I should get an extra hour. And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Please leave.
Can you make more? Can you make OT if you relive the past?
I would argue yes, but the child that I babysit, their parents say no. So
yeah. They don't let you if you fast forward time, because every time I take a nap, they don't pay me for that. So.
That's bullshit.
So, it seems consistent that if you double live the time, then...
Okay, yeah. I see.
Yeah. So it's a really iconic Earthrealm gym level. It was really well done for 1994. There wasn't a lot of like escort missions, and it was a cool gimmick that really... it was fun. It tied things together well.
Cool.
Interesting thing to note, Super Nintendo had a blue color palette for that level. Sega Genesis had a red level. No idea why.
Why not?
They were just different colors for different systems.
It's funny that Sega Genesis had the red for Mario and Super Nintendo had the blue for Sonic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cute.
Yeah, maybe that was a 10-apple troll. Who knows?
Yeah. A lot of this seems like it.
Yeah. This is the Calm game. Like, this is weird, but it gets even weirder in the second one.
Oh, that's true. I forgot that. This is still just baby steps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Intestinal Distress is the next level, where somehow from escorting a puppy on the surface of a planet that doesn't look like Earth, you're now inside of something that's much bigger than you, and you need to dodge debris that's shooting down the intestines, and there's also flying fish in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is probably the guy who was puking the fish, right? The whole fish.
Yeah, you got back to him somehow.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah, this is only in the Sega version because Nintendo had a strict policy against blood and gore. It doesn't look very bloody or gory. It just looks like you're in an intestines, but Nintendo said no thanks.
Okay, yeah. Wasn't Mortal Kombat on the Super Nintendo?
Yeah, but it was a big controversy. They changed the color. They changed the color of the blood. It's like gray or blue or whatever. It's sweat instead.
Okay.
And there's no fatalities. That's why Mortal Kombat on Genesis was like the man's version.
Yeah,
it's because they allowed blood with a code.
Yeah. On N64, I remember I had to go into the settings and turn blood on. And I remember when my mom saw I turned blood on, she wasn't very happy with that.
Oh
no.
Oh, someone did trouble.
Because beating the shit out of a guy with 6 arms was fine until red came out of him.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, otherwise, it's just all in good fun.
No, Bob, he's an alien. It's red sweat. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after Intestinal Distress, this one kind of has a through line. You go to Buttville, which is the final level of the first game.
Sounds like my kind of town.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it sounds like Queen Slug for a Butt might come into play finally, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. It's a really dark color palette. It's like really dark blues and blacks, and you're basically going down a really navvy, like narrow passage that twists and turns, and there's spikes on every single wall everywhere, and you have to kind of hover your way down by using your own head as like a helicopter thing, like you're swinging your own head like a lasso to slow yourself down, and you have to worm your way through all these tight passages, which is very, very unforgiving.
That sounds like a fucking nightmare, I'm not gonna lie. Especially with the Sega Genesis plastic disc D-pad where you like suggest directions to it.
Yeah, and at this point you've been through the whole game too. How many lives do you have left? Who knows? And like, you can't just pick up where you left off if you died too many times. Like, the pressure's on.
It's brutal.
Yeah. So eventually you make it all the way down. You have to fight through like hordes of flies. Then it gets more left and right rather than up and down. And even then there's spikes everywhere. But you finally get to the first stage of the final boss, Queen Slug for a Butt. I have her full name here if you'd like to hear it.
I would Please. Very much like to hear it. Okay. Ethan, it starts with. We know that much.
Okay. Ethan, the evil queen, pulsating, bloated, festering, sweaty, pus-filled, malformed Slug for a Butt.
Okay.
Yep.
And stands to reason. I am known by that in some circles. So.
Yes. We find out that she's the twin sister of Princess What's-Her-Name, although they don't share the slug booty.
Okay. So you gotta earn the slug booty.
Hell yeah.
So the first stage of the fight, you only fight her ass. You don't even see her face.
Nice.
It's just sticking through the middle of the screen. And there's like kind of like logs down a river, but it doesn't look like logs down a river. There's just platforms flying by all the time, and you have to jump to the right ones.
Okay.
Okay. It's just like rocks that are flying by, and you have to dodge what's coming out of her ass while also making sure you're landing on the next platform while shooting it all the time.
Gosh.
This part's actually harder than fighting her face. This is like the real hard part of the last boss. Then once you get to her head, there's just a platform going around like a clock around her head. And if you just completely have enough bullets and unload the whole time, you'll stun lock her the whole time. So it's pretty easy.
Oh.
Yeah. Some of that classic 90s QA.
Yeah. It's
as long as you're good at like aiming the right direction while going around her, basically.
Yeah. You'll be fine. I mean, it's easy as long as you don't waste bullets and had enough bullets to begin with. Right. Otherwise, yeah. I bet it's pretty freaking annoying.
Yeah.
Cause if I recall when I was a child and was terrible at this game, if you run out of ammo in this game, you're fucked, right?
Oh yeah, very unforgiving.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways to pick it up. Like I think there's flies in the room before the butt that kind of spawn endlessly, but if you waste too much on her butt, you won't have enough for her face, as the old saying goes. Oh yeah. So you beat her, the final boss of this level and of the game, and it's finally time to save Princess What's-Her-Name. So awesome. You walk up and it's kind of like you approach on the left side of the screen and she's on the right side of the screen on a cliff overlooking the water, and she's beautiful. You have like your head turns into a wolf, you do the awooga, the heart pumps out.
Classic.
The chest.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
You okay. Stomp the floor a bunch of times. In the one of the remastered versions, they like doubled the hammer. Yeah. They doubled the length of the animation and added more to that.
Oh yeah, one of the beautiful. Yeah. Cool. Beautiful.
The entire scene from the mask is in the remaster.
Yeah. So yeah, you save the princess. So you walk towards her, and just like that, the cow that you launched for the first level falls down and crushes her.
Oh, nice. I've been wondering where he was going to come back. I thought maybe it'd be like Earthworm Jim 2 throwback, and I was like, wow, that's like a deep cut, but I love that.
Killer?
Yeah, it kills her.
Oh, fuck.
You just kind of hang your shoulders and you walk off screen, and then the cliff just falls down, the cow and her get washed away into the water. Earthworm Jim kind of peeks back into the screen and grabs her crown and like looks at it and then walks off with the crown.
He's going to loot it for $40.
Yeah, loots the corpse before she gets washed out by the tide.
That's Holy the end shit. Of the game, dude.
Well, once more, that's pretty symbolic of worms feeding on the corpses of dead, right?
Oh.
Your royalty's not good here to the worms.
The only thing that's left in the end is the crown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the crown being symbolism for the monarchy itself,
mm-hmm,
right? Because in the end, what differentiates me from a queen? It's we're all worm food in the end.
Dude, we are going to crush this SAT.
This SAT. King chance.
bro, seriously? Blew my mind.
All right. So Earthworm Jim 2 is next. It came out December 22nd, 1995. It would be a couple months after my fourth birthday, right before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't
He's
even
in
have
the Tower of London for killing Princess Diana or whatever the fuck happened at the end of the last one. It was Earthworm Jim that did it.
Yeah.
He was driving the car.
He was driving that car, yeah.
Yep. This is the last great Earthworm Jim game that was released. Many fans think that this game is better than the original gameplay-wise, but they both hold a special place in their heart. So okay. If you were to only go back and play one, this one will probably be more fun compared to the first. But they're both great. So the core sense of humor is still present in the game. You still have Doug. You still have Mr. Perry. The only difference in terms of your character is it's a little bit bigger on the screen, I guess, to be more iconic or something like that. Or to show off their new animations or something. And you have a new sidekick named Snot that gives you more mobility. You can use him to like latch onto ceilings, to launch yourself places. It's just another tool in the toolbox.
And what is he?
He's a piece of snot.
Oh, he's just a booger.
He's a booger. He's a green booger.
Is he like, does he float next to you? I've never played this game. To be honest, didn't know it existed until you started talking about it.
Yeah. I haven't played through the game in many, many years, but from the small clips I saw, it looks like he kind of stays in your suit and you whip him out when you need him.
That's like a penis. Okay.
A pocket yeah. booger.
Okay. Yeah.
No. As we all have.
Mm-hmm. It's like a fleshlight.
Yeah. Just the inside of the fleshlight.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So right off the bat, this game is just kind of crazy. Level one features you in like one of those electric chairs to help people who can't walk get upstairs. Not the killing kind, like the ones that you sit in.
Yeah,
that
brings I know what you're talking about. But
yeah, I obviously the mobility, the thing that's on a rail on like a spiral staircase or whatever.
Yeah, there's one of those.
Obviously, not the killing kind, Jamie. We're not against the old people going upstairs penalty.
You're gonna get the chair for this, you son of a bitch.
Thank you, I need one. I'm scared of falling.
This game's not too kind to the grannies, because the whole time you're in that chair, grannies are falling from the top of the staircase and you're dodging them.
No fucking way.
Fucking bad time to take a mouthful of water there. Goes up my nose.
So this is like a Gremlins level, basically, right?
Fucking use it or chair, and then they just all decide to fucking take the stairs at that exact moment. Christ. Yeah.
Then after that, you have to carry a bunch of pigs to different counterweights. It's like a puzzle to put the pigs in the right place, opens the door. Okay. You need to be on.
Is this in the same fucking level?
Yeah, so the guy that I watched really stopped dividing the levels as much, but just kind of showed the highlights along the way. So I know it's in the same level, but I don't really know how it how do you get from Granny's Falling Down the Stairs to Pigs in the Pen? I don't know.
I mean, are we going to start asking that question now? Because we gotta roll the tape back if we're going to start digging in here, guys.
The next level is really cool. It has a lot more freedom than games of the time. You're kind of in mines, but there's only really small air pockets and there's no clear path. So you have like a zap gun that you use to make your own path, and you have to find pockets of air to get to the end of the level. Mm-hmm. So
okay, it's like Dig Dug basically. You like do you like tunnel around?
Yeah, you can go up, down, left, right, anywhere which way you want to go, and it's really up to you. So everyone's gonna have a different experience in that level.
Okay.
Yeah. And at the end, a shared experience. Everybody fights a maggot on a unicycle.
All right.
Good.
Yeah.
Is it Maurice from Freaky Stories?
Could be. That's kind of similar.
Is it Maurice from Madagascar? Hmm? The King's Advisor Lemur?
Oh, could be. Could be.
He likes to move it, move it.
Julian does. Maurice, not so much.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. The next level I do remember really well from childhood, because I think this is where I got stuck before having to return the game.
That's a classic Blockbuster problem that like no one will ever experience ever again, which makes me very sad.
No, yeah.
Renting games, man.
And not being able to just like say, okay, Google, how do I get through this level? Like you'd have to go find a game fact, then like go through a 100-page document to find the right chapter where you're at, then read that. Hopefully this one guy explained it the way that you experienced it.
If you even had fucking internet.
Yeah.
So we had dial-up, and I remember finding the Final Fantasy VIII strategy guide online and being like, oh, hit print, and just like burning all the paper and ink in my mother's printer at the time, because I had no concept of how expensive that was or how many pages it would take to print.
Yeah, I would ask my mom, and I had like a I had like a folder next to my Sega and my N64 that had the guides that I wanted. And I would go through with the guide, but I didn't realize how expensive it was. My mom was very nice to let me do that.
That strategy guide had three full pages of ASCII art at the top too. Like the guy who wrote the guide, his logo, and then like the Final Fantasy VIII logo, and then like ASCII art of like the two of the main characters.
Yeah. Oh man, those were the days. So the next level I do remember from childhood, it didn't really need a guide. It was clear what you had to do, but it was hard. It's set up that on the left side of the screen, there's Psycho, so the original bad guy, mm-hmm. and he's in a barn, and he's throwing puppies out of the top floor window.
Okay, hang on a second. We did not defeat Psycho in the first game, right? No, or did I just have a did I just blank there?
No, we didn't. We slug for a butt, but... the second game. He's the bad guy that we do defeat.
Yeah, okay. He in the first game he's arguably a good guy because he gave you your suit.
Yeah, and then he invites you to fun races and fist fights if you lose them.
Yeah,
both good things.
I mean, if you're gonna race for slips, you got to put it on the line, Jamie. You got to understand that.
Yeah, you're right. I've never raced for slips. So this level, you have Psycho. He's on the left side. He's top of a barn. He's throwing puppies out. Pink puppies Monster. That look just like Pete. And Jim is on the ground, and he has a giant marshmallow.
He's just catching puppies.
Well, the game is, like, you have to go scroll across the whole screen, which is kind of quite long, and it takes multiple bounces to get the puppy from one side to the other side. And you have to bounce all the way to safety.
Okay.
But sometimes they'll play more than
game.
Yeah,
this is based off a completely unique game that I don't remember the name of, but like I've played this actual game. I've never played Earthworm Ethan 2, but I have played this particular level, but it's in original state.
And yeah, so sometimes there'll be three puppies. You got to bounce them all at different times, right? So they're all coming
and
down.
I have played a game where my bully was throwing puppies off the roof of a barn one time, and I was doing my best to catch them.
Okay, there we go.
It was kind of formative for me.
Yeah, Ethan didn't have a giant marshmallow, he just had a normal one.
Yeah. Did my best. Now I'm a vegetarian. I'll never wash that blood off my hands.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
So I remember this level so clearly because I think this is where I spent the most time when I'd rent it again and then just get stuck there again and again. But it also comes back multiple times too, so maybe that's why I remember it, because it has repetition. But it's a hard level. You bounce enough puppies to the safety, then eventually he'll throw out a bomb instead of a puppy. He got his bomb bag and his puppy bag all mixed up.
Mixed up, man.
Yeah, easy and you got to throw a bomb back. Yeah. this next level threw me for a fucking loop, dude. The next level is called Jim is Now a Blind Salamander. And
okay.
Without any real explanation, you are now a blind salamander with no suit.
Okay, that's fair.
You don't even you don't look like Jim in any way.
Eat your heart out, Shyamalan. Okay, this is what you call a real twist. Okay, I see dead
Mel
people.
Gibson is
no. Now the viewer is a blind salamander. Okay,
now how is it specified that he's blind? Does he have the little cartoony glasses on? And the wand?
So like Always Sunny, you know, where they flash the title card? Like, after you save the puppies, it just says, it's Jim holding a sign being like, Jim is now a blind salamander.
What up?
Yeah. And so, yeah, you're a blind salamander, and you're swimming through what looks like intestinal caverns. It has all, like, those, what are those things called on the inside of your intestinalia? Those, like, little...
cilia is like blood vessels in your lungs, I think.
The little magic school bus tendril thingies, right? That like massage your food? I don't remember. Yeah.
What I do know is it's not the mitochondria.
No, that's the powerhouse of the cell.
Yeah, that would be the powerhouse of the cell.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're going through, you're a blind salamander, you look like a blind salamander, you don't have a little eye, you're just like a little pink thing, and you're going through these intestinal caverns. And inexplicably, there's pinball bumpers everywhere that wants to bump you into the sides that will hurt you.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's how you prank a blind person, is put a bunch of pinball bumpers around them, right?
Take that, pinball wizard.
That does make sense.
Take that, pinball wizard.
Because that blind, deaf, and dumb kid sure can play a mean pinball.
He sure can play a mean pinball.
Holy fuck, I wonder if it's Tommy.
So once you swim your way through, you dodge all the blind pinball bumpers that are trying to get you.
These guys were definitely high. They were listening to The Who and just freebasing heroin and while developing their second game.
Yeah, next step of the level, there's no boss. As the blind salamander, you roll up to a game show, and there's a guy asking you questions. So I pulled a few questions.
Oh, yes.
I thought we could play along together. Don't expect them all to make sense, because they definitely don't.
Okay.
But just do your best. This will be on the SAT.
Always do. This will be on the SAT.
This is practice podcast.
Yeah. So the first question is, when is Jim's birthday? I'll give you A, the day he was born, B, June 9th, 1994, or C, today if you have a present.
Today if you have a present. I'm going to lock in C.
Okay.
I'm going to lock in B, June.
That's one for Peter. One for Peter.
Okay.
Hey.
Okay.
I think this one was a hint at when the game was originally released, and
that was my assumption. Yeah,
that makes sense.
That's the one that there actually is something to make sense with. There's not always something to make sense with.
Okay.
But next one: if cigarettes cause cancer, what causes Capricorn? A.
Great question. I mean, can I just say that I'm. Let me get a pen and paper here.
I pulled these up on one of those game FAQs with the ASCII at the beginning. It was the only place I could find all the questions written down. And there's tens of these, so I only pulled a few of them. If you want to go play along at home more, there's many of these that you can play with
your... Yeah.
Okay. So cigarettes cause cancer. What causes Capricorn? A, poor fitting shoes in southern France. B, dental floss. C, 1.5 pounds of butter.
I'm going to go A. This time.
I'm going to go C, butter.
Peter's 2-0.
Damn, dude. Yeah. I would have thought the dairy lobbyists never would have allowed the game to go to print if, you know, they were bashing butter like that.
Dude, lobbyists can't get past the pinball wizard.
Oh,
yeah. The milk mafia is only really a Canadian problem.
No, dairy lobby's huge in the States, too. Anyway, we don't got to talk about dairy lobby.
Yeah.
What is Jim's favorite magazine? A, Annelid Monthly. B, Tiny Elvis Collectors Quarterly. Or C, Playworm.
I'm going to say, I was hoping there'd be a Playworm, so I will say Playworm. I think it might be Annelid Monthly, but I'll go with Playworm.
Okay.
I'm going to go A. I'm going to do the Annelid one.
3-0, Peter. Have you played this game?
I would not.
I really wanted to. So I really wanted to go Annelid Monthly. I was like, that's too specific. Annelid must be like the type of worm that Jim is or something. But then before you even started listing them, I was like, I really hope there's a smut one in here, because Jim seems like he likes some smut. I think Jim secretly likes Playworm the best, but he just wouldn't admit it in the census, you know?
Right.
Oh, yeah. I have not played this, but I mean, I'm a bit of a hack writer myself, so I could make a game in the 90s if I had to.
So the next one is, how can you easily complete this level? A, press reset. B, follow the path of least resistance. C, what? You're almost done.
I mean, this one's hard.
C.
I'll go B, I guess.
It's A, it's press reset, which if you actually do, it will not save your progress.
And so just send you back to the beginning of the game?
So they'll tell you that's right, and then it won't work.
Oh my god, that is sadistic.
Oh. Yeah.
It's that only kind of qualifies as child abuse, honestly.
Yeah,
that's
right?
Fucked up.
Like, oh man.
It's only a small chance you can actually get that question, but if someone did, that would mess me up so bad.
There's that's like some a Psycho Mantis shit right there, yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking of Metal Gear. I was like, this is
Yeah. There's a bunch of questions that like people just put their own names into, like they make no sense, but it says like, why does this? Because Don said so, because Don just wanted to be in the game somewhere and that's where he put himself.
Gotcha. Don's the real hack here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last one that I picked for today, but we can surely pull more of these if we ever feel like it.
Mailbag, baby. Earthworm Jim Trivia Hour.
Coal is to water as light bulb is to A, water, B, coal, or C, wet coal.
Okay, wait. Coal is to water as light bulb is to
water, coal, or wet coal.
Oh, I gotta assume that there's not a real answer here. So
wet coal.
I'm gonna go coal, dry coal.
Pete got it. It's wet coal.
Yeah.
Yep. That so that'll be on the SAT.
Though. That does make sense.
Pete, you did a lot better than I expected anyone to do on these. So.
Yeah. What is that? I hear four that out of five? 80%?
Yep. That's really good. You passed. You can go to worm school.
Yay.
So I guess like this is really punishing because it's really long in the game to get to this point. Well, not really long, but like a few levels and they're kind of completely nonsensical. So I guess the only way that you could get these right your first time through is to like either be Pete and know them really well or you could kick your mom off the phone to look up gamefacts.com on your Yahoo browser or something. I don't know, man.
You could ask Jeeves. Yeah.
Yeah. So next up is a frustratingly hard isometric space level where you need to bounce a bomb balloon all the way to the end of a map and then shoot it to detonate it once you get it to the right place. But there's a lot of things that can blow up the bomb prematurely. You can also just get killed yourself. It's really hard.
Okay.
Yeah. After that's another puppy saving level where they just amp up the difficulty and the amount of puppies being thrown from barn windows.
Okay.
Then we go back finally to classic platforming after being a blind worm in a stomach to a spaceship to saving puppies from a rock and a game show. They finally give us what we paid for is classic platforming. And the gimmick in this one is you have to carry cows back to their homes to get enough milk to fill up the bucket to pull the lever that opens the door.
You may have inadvertently stumbled on like the dairy lobby problem here.
Yeah. they got their fingers all over this game.
One of the enemies in this zone, which I love, are spaceships that like UFOs that are going around. And instead of the beam me up things, they just have udders that are shooting milk out all the time.
Okay.
All right.
Very cool.
Now I see why they were doing that. All that weird cow stuff in the 60s. Now I get it. Okay.
Yeah. You beat that level, all of a sudden you're at the bottom of a giant pit. So Jim puts his thumb in his mouth, exhales sharply.
How many man lengths deep is this pit? Or body lengths deep is this pit? Sorry.
Oh, yeah. It's about as wide as the other one. Five or six, I'd say.
Okay, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
And what's that in football fields?
probably would be only a couple yards for an earthworm, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, as a big-ass earthworm.
Yeah. That would be very concerning.
That's a tapeworm, my dude.
So to get out of this pit, Jim does what anyone logical would do in a cartoon world. He sticks his thumb in his mouth and exhales sharply to inflate his own head.
Yeah, of course.
Yep.
Good. Now he floats.
Yeah, and he floats all the way to the top, and Evil the Cat from the first game is back and throwing things at you, and you have to dodge the things while you're going up.
Sure enough, Evil the Cat did return to the material plane.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's true.
After
yeah.
being killed in hell.
Yeah, there we go.
Excuse me. Good to know.
We really should buy the rights to this fucking thing. We're totally killing it.
Next level is really weird. You're just on a mountain of newspaper, and the only enemy is fire. So there's a lot of shit. The background is just like newspapers, and then the foreground is just piles of newspaper. I don't know.
I mean, it's a scathing commentary on the state of journalism in the mid-90s, I think. So it's during the whole Iran-Contra scandal. Like, there was a lot going on that, you know, needed to be said, I think, by creative video game developers.
There's a couple cages in that level as well, which may say something about that, too. I don't know.
True, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, back to the puppy bounce minigame after the newspapers. that's the last time.
No matter what, I guess there's always puppies. Psychro has literally nothing better to do.
Yeah. Yeah, when you escape from a pit, he's just spending that whole time just collecting
gathering puppies. Yeah.
He finally walks all the way up to the final floor, and then you show up with a marshmallow each time.
If only I'd gone 5 minutes sooner.
The next level really seems like someone was stoned when they wrote it. It was stoned and hungry, specifically. because it the background is a grill with two hamburgers just grilling on it and a couple like vegetables on the side.
Nice.
And you're running across piles of meat and potatoes and just other types of food, and you're running away from a giant salt shaker, and the soundtrack is like Jamaican inspired music, some reggae.
Reggae, very nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. The final boss on this stage is a slice of pizza.
Pizza face.
Does it have legs, or is it just a slice?
I didn't look it up. I didn't think it was worth that my time.
How are we supposed to pass the SATs? What the fuck, dude? Yeah, yeah.
Hamburger on grill is as pizza, two legs.
Hmm? Two oven rack.
Yeah.
Two legs.
Yeah. Stay away from the salt shaker, and don't worry about a ting.
So this is a condemnation of like the shitty diet of like United States fast food. This right. is really this is the original activist game. He wants you to lower your cholesterol, disconnect from corporate media, basically awaken your third eye, right?
Exactly.
Okay, good.
Put on a spacesuit that magically grants you an extra eye.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Is that what it would do to a person when you put it on?
Presumably.
No, that's what happened to the monkey for a head, dude. It just made a monkey grow on his head.
Nice. That's
well,
better.
I mean, he could climb on the ceiling. It was better than what I can do.
That's better, because instead of having a third eye, you'd presumably have a second dick and balls. So, way better.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Monkey dick and balls.
Yeah, then you don't have to save the ammo for the face after the ass, right?
Holy shit.
So the next and final level of Earthworm Jim 2, and the final level we're going to be talking about today, is a running race with Psychro.
Okay.
So you've been racing him in his spaceship all through the first game, and now it's just time to hoof it right next to each other.
So this is the cardio section. Change your diet, don't consume corporate media, exercise.
And you run... Like, there's certain obstacles you have to whip down and stuff, but once you kind of know the path, it's not too hard. And you get to the end, and Psychro keels over, defeated. Princess What's-Her-Face has come back to life after being squished by a cow, and she's there.
Okay, good for her.
She's been the goal this whole time, I forgot to mention. I guess they just didn't kill her in the last one.
Yeah, you told us that she had died, and now she's back. That's a very jarring.
It's cartoon.
Presumably, it's like a Mary Shelley's Frankenstein's monster situation here, where Psychro resurrected her from the dead from pieces of other princesses.
Oh, that makes sense.
Well, there's actually a solution that might come up that could explain it all. So,
Well, if you tell me that the game ends with her going out into an ice shelf and setting herself on fire, I think I'm gonna take this point for myself. Thank you very much.
Spoilers for Earthworm Jim 2.
Yeah. Spoilers for Mary Shelley's Frankenstein written in the 19th century.
Fuck! I've been trying to get through it. I just don't have the time.
So you get to the end. There's a message across the screen saying, Jim defeated Psychro and saved the princess What's-Her-Name. Congratulations. And the screen behind fades to black, and you just see the three bodies of, or not bodies, like I guess alive people of you, Princess What's-Her-Face, and keeled over Psychro. And Princess What's-Her-Face unzips her whole face, and she's been a cow the whole time.
Oh. Because a cow wouldn't be killed by a cow falling on it from low Earth orbit. That is true.
Yeah. Or they just replaced it with another cow to cover up what the first cow did, kind of thing.
Oh, more Dairy Lobby conspiracies, huh?
Just like Princess Diana. This makes so much sense.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was fucking weird when it came out that there was a cow walking around with her skin suit on. Princess Di? That was fucked up.
This game's woke as fuck. I get it. They knew what was going on.
And Psychro looks up from the ground, and he also unzips himself, and he's been a cow this whole time.
Oh, shit, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now we're getting into like far side territory.
That explains the puppies, at least, right?
Yes.
Cows hate puppies.
I would assume so.
Well, that's the later part of the SAT. We did the turtle and the crow thing, but then the cow and the puppy question.
Yeah, that's
later.
It. It's worm, crow, turtle, puppy, cow is the way the chain goes.
Right. Yeah. So then. Earthworm Jim does like a double take because everything he's been working towards has been cows this whole time. And up above, like the screen where it says Earthworm Jim has defeated and rescued. It switched to Earthworm Jim has defeated Cow and rescued Cow. and then Earthworm Jim himself unzips, and he's also been a cow.
And he's a cow. Fuck? Beautiful. Beautiful. That's, okay,
and that's good. How the game ends, is they've all been cows.
Now, really, oh, one twist in your game, turning your protagonist into a salamander halfway through without any explanation, is good. But then also turning him into a cow at the end of the game as a secondary twist, much better. Much better.
That's yeah. a literary masterpiece. so that's the end of Earthworm Jim for the games. Like, they did Game Boy ports. They did the PSP in development that never came out. They did a bunch of like attempts of trying to rerun the series, but really it just couldn't like nail the transition from 2D to 3D, which is kind of why it died out.
It's up to us, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it was delayed from like the first year of development for an additional 2 years before the 3D game came out, and then it was just bad. It was just worse than everything, even after 3 years. So, yep. Earthworm Jim didn't survive. But if you do want more Earthworm Jim, you can go check out that cartoon. There's 2 seasons of it. It's supposed to be really well done. It's supposed to be funny. I think if I can find it online, I might watch a couple episodes just to see what it's all about. And
I've seen it like as a child. It's very strange.
I have, like, some of the... There's Dan Castellaneta's Earthworm Jim, Evil Jim, the Hamsternator, Turns His Eyelids Inside Out Boy, Jim's Four Brains, the Grim Reaper, and Japist, the God of Puns.
Japist is a bad name. For anything or anyone.
Japist. I didn't enunciate.
Oh, okay. That was a Toronto Toronto situation.
Yeah. There's Jim Cummings as Psychro, Bob the Killer, Goldfish, Johnny Dactyl, Walter, Xanter, Master of the Flying Toupee, the Sword of Righteousness, Phlegmopus, the God of Phlegmopus? Yeah. Lower Back Pain Man.
Oh, that's me. That's me.
The Giant Fur-Bearing Trout. Okay. And Santa Claus.
Yeah. Oh. Jim Cummings is great, though.
Yeah. There's some other names. Edward Hibbert. Ben Stein as Rosebud the Nameless Beast.
Ben Stein of Win Ben Stein's Money fame.
yeah.
Wow. Andrea Martin's in there. There's like a bunch of really solid people. Cool. Kath Susie. It looks like a fun show to watch, so if you are interested in this wacky world, I definitely recommend checking that out.
Cool.
And that's just about it for the Earthworm Jim universe.
Loved it.
Very nice. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you like the show, leave us a review on your podcasting app or iTunes, or just with your mom and cousin and uncles and friends. Just leave a review.
Just scream it at your neighbor. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah,
whatever.
Exactly. Shout it from the rooftops, as it were. If you want to get in touch with us, head to loreboys.com/about. All our contact info is there, but maybe if it's urgent or if you really want to get in touch with us, come to the Discord. There's a permanent link on the website to join. And that's where we hang out the most, and that's where we do most of our fan service and interactions, things like that. You can find me at Ethan the Dead Man. Jamie, where can we find your earthwormy goodness?
You can find me at loreboyspodcast@gmail.com. We have a mailbag episode coming up, so please, please, please send us some emails. If you have ever wanted to, we're going to have some holiday drinks in the next couple of weeks and go over these emails and probably do another game of Who Said That, where we pull random quotes from our few years of episodes and our horrible memories don't let us remember who said what. So it ends up being really funny because there's a lot of good out of context quotes that we have. So
yeah,
please send us some emails for that.
Yeah. And Pete, you got anything you want to plug or talk about?
Yeah. Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram. If you want to send us some messages or check out all the title cards and leave us likes on that, it's all very helpful. There is a link on to our T Public, which is our merch on loreboys.com/about. If you just want to recommend something, do it in Discord and I'll put it up within a couple of days, basically. You don't even have to buy it, but if you think something would be a good thing to sell, fucking do it. We've put up a couple of suggestions recently that actually did well, so it's always good. Yeah, that's about it. Tell your friends. Don't tell your parents because they will take away your iPod. But that's basically it. Yeah. Look at our pictures.
Yeah. Thanks again for listening, everybody. Shout out to Terry, our top tier patron. On patreon.com. If you guys want to support the show financially and have us shout you out Just leave us a couple bucks on patreon.com and we'll give you a thank you, whether on the episode or off the episode. It's TBD as always.
I think Terry Tamer with that name, Terry Tamer, T-A-M-E-R, has a YouTube thing now too. So if you want to check it,
you can check
it.
Oh
yeah. Take a look at that.
We super appreciate the support from all of our patrons. It means the world that we're able to do this thing more or less for free. Even make a couple extra bucks here and there to do stuff like maybe pay somebody to fix our horrible, horrible website, loreboys.com. if you got opinions about it, you can let us know in the Discord. So head to loreboys.com/about and join the Discord from there. Now, anybody who doesn't trust Patreon, of course, we always do offer Loreboys Prime, our own personal service, where we've all been working pretty hard preparing for the SATs, trying to get ourselves ready. But I don't let that take away from my personal projects. You know what I mean? I'm busy. I work full time. You know, I'm going to school for this SAT business, but I'm also working on earning that slug booty. You know what I mean? So I need your guys' support this month, okay? I'm not offering you guys very much back other than the opportunity to meet the slug booty once it's in place. But if you guys are willing to send $14.99 to us, you'll have a chance to interview with the slug booty once it's complete.
Not the face. Yeah. Not the face.
Oh, no. Heavens no. No, I'm much like the man in the iron mask in that I am stuck in an iron mask. My face.
And just for the exclusivity, even Jamie and I need to pay for access. So this is really like booty, a once in a this is like a once in a lifetime opportunity. Yeah.
It's always been worth it, to be honest.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean they're seeing it half finished. So really it's nowhere near the majesty it will be once I get those $14.99s from you guys. So
we were more than half finished by the time we left, though, I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
I won't go back. I won't be able to handle the finished product. I'm not lying.
So grab 1,499 pennies. Put them in a bucket, put that bucket on a board, put the board on a lever, and then drop a cow onto the other end of the board to launch that $14.99 to us as soon as you can. And I think that would constitute
Loreboys.
Loreboys out.
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 My name's James. Is that your D&D like plot or something? Where did that come from?
No, he's still the Lindbergh baby.
Yeah, exactly. Peter gets it.
I don't know what a Lindbergh is.
Peter's seen film before. It was that's the plot of the Orient Murder on the Orient Express.
Is that the Christmas movie?
No, you're thinking of Polar Express.
Christmas movie.
Okay. Yeah.
Where Tom Hanks has to solve who killed all those ugly kids. That's the name of the episode. Nobody needs to know. It's Murder on the Polar Express.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.